Hello, hello. You're listening to CIDR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. This is Word Goblins, a show about buzzwords, pop culture, and the internet through the decades with your friendly but hostile neighborhood goblins. I am your host, Hannah. It's been a minute, and I'm here with Tasha.
Hello, everyone. I'm feeling especially hostile today.
Do tell.
I don't know. I spent the last hour or so like feverishly researching for this, and I realized that it's one of those topics that just unfolds into so many different dimensions, and I started scribbling aggressive notes, and I feel like I lost myself, like a little bit Radiohead Karma Police, like I lost myself, because there's like... Oh, man. Words can be too much sometimes. Like, why do we do this?
I could not agree more. Mm-hmm. So I had a similar experience. I was down the rabbit hole researching about Wesselm Caleb saga, which I was privy to last year, but I had... thrown that in the back pocket of my brain somewhere because it wasn't relevant to my life or to the world anymore. And I was like, I need to research this to tell you about it, but also for our listeners. And oh my God, the internet is a dark, dark place. Our parents were right.
Yeah, I'm also sitting in front of like a, what, 5-page printout of a Rolling Stone article about this scenario, mm-hmm. of which I don't know a lot about, so I'm really excited to learn about West End Caleb.
West Elm Caleb.
Oh my God! Don't bully me for saying it wrong.
No. It's actually a lot of inside baseball because what does that even mean? West Elm is a furniture store in the States where this Caleb dude worked.
Okay,
and so that kind of became the title, which went viral, mm-hmm. and I am scared. Off the internet.
I mean, I've lived there for my entire life, so like maybe that's why I'm feeling hostile, because I'm always hostile because I was born in hostility. But we should mention that we're talking about dating lingo today, and yeah. In Word Goblins we have in earlier episodes chosen one word and then kind of done a deep dive into that world, the etymology, if we know anything about it. But it was funny when we were circling around dating lingo and we found very many words. And I think the topic right now is just like of dating lingo, not specifically one word, but we'll choose mm-hmm. some points to kind of rest on.
Yeah.
But just the world of dating lingo and a little deep dive into an analysis of such is kind of where we're heading.
And the why.
Yeah. And the how.
Yeah.
And the excuse me.
Excuse me is my favorite part. How dare you?
Yeah. And like, I'm a square and I've not used Tinder and I'm not well versed in the world dating because it said square. Mm-hmm. So like, I will need help when it comes to a lot of these things, but I am aware of some of the terms.
Yeah. We're talking about modern dating and oh my God, it's a beast. The lexicon surrounding modern dating, too much.
Calm down.
Too many words. And my thesis statement for today, because I needed something to feel grounded in.
Yeah.
Hey, I feel you. Laugh. I know. I was stressed.
I know. My notes reflect your chaotic mind.
I see your...
it's not a beautiful mind. It's so ugly.
Wacky notes. Why do we need different ways of saying you're a horrible human being?
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's what we're talking about today.
That's it. Tasha and I did try to pick a word. I also may or may not have made Tasha take a New York Times quiz on dating terms.
Actually from the New York Times?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's why I had to use the Wayback Machine to do it, because I'm paying for that shit. No. I was like, there's a paywall for this quiz? Excuse me?
Excuse me.
But yeah, I did take the quiz.
So Tasha actually scored more than me. I scored 3 out of 6. Embarrassing. And Tasha scored...
I scored 4 out of 6, which I think is still a fail. But like, as a noob, like, how did I do this? Some of them were really funny. And I do think we should go over it.
It's not a fail, actually. 3 out of 6 is not a fail either. 2 out of 6 is a fail.
Oh. Well, there you go.
3 out of 6 is 50%.
I'm actually a champion dater. Anyone out there looking? Because I know all of the words.
You're a modern dating linguist?
Yeah.
Actually?
I did it.
So, yeah, please tell us about the words.
Okay, so there's only 6 questions, obviously. We did say that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. There is one question that really got me, and it was the first one. And it was, when someone keeps sending flirty messages but never actually plans to meet up, it is called A, baiting, B, breadcrumbing, C, love bombing, or D, giving fumes, not fragrance. And boy, did I want to choose the last one because that is freaking hilarious.
Make that a thing.
Make it a thing. What? Why are we saying boring words like breadcrumbing, which was the answer?
Yeah.
And I got it right because I am so smart and so talented.
Of course.
But giving fumes, not fragrance, is so much more accurate.
It's so visceral.
Yeah. And generally speaking, a lot of these are like, they'll be single words that I would categorize as like somewhat adjacent to what the action is. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be like a little bit more of like an allegory kind of energy, of which giving fumes, not fragrance, is just too descriptive.
Perfect. Idiom.
Yeah. Okay. Like it would never be that. And there are other instances.
The second one threw me off and I hate it so much.
When someone keeps a romantic prospect around as a second option, is that what you're referencing?
Yep.
Yeah. It is called back pocketing, stashing, cookie jarring, or benching. I got this wrong. I wrote back pocketing, but it was cookie jarring. But once again,
make it make sense.
Yeah. I mean, not too spot on. We want to keep it floating around. We want to keep it sort of like a metaphor. So the cookie thing, breadcrumbs and cookie, like I'm not enjoying the words, the like food words
don't
that we're using.
Don't ruin it for me.
Yeah. Apparently, cookie jarring is when a person seeks a relationship with someone else as a backup plan. Just say it's a backup person. We don't need to bring cookies into this.
Cookie jarring also doesn't, grammatically incorrect. It's like, come on, people.
Then we also have cobwebbing, which is getting rid of anything that reminds you of a past relationship. The options which were Marie Kondoing, saging the space, and scrubbing. It would never be Marie Kondoing nor saging the space. Too wordy.
Saging the space also into that.
Yeah.
I picked scrubbing.
Saging the space appropriative.
Also that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's also cobwebbing is an act of self-love.
No. It says, I will say I am very online. Unfortunately, and I usually am on top of I don't know, lingo and lexicon and all that for the show, but also generally this show stemmed out of our curiosity for words and pop culture and sociology behind it and everything and psychology of words and human beings. But I didn't do as well as I thought I would.
Yeah, I mean, given, like, my answers reflect me just taking a guess based on what I think the naming conventions are, it's never anything that's going to be too on the nose. I think when we're using words like this, it has to be just covert enough. So I was making a conscious effort, despite my lack of knowledge, to just choose the words that are, like, kind of metaphoric, kind of covert, and not too long, because you don't want to say something like stalking in plain sight. You would say orbiting.
I would say stalking in plain sight, because...
Yeah, I'm a wordy biatch. Like...
That's what I... wow, being called out, that's what I picked.
That's what I wanted to pick, but with orbiting...
It's...
Haunting was another option for this act, which is when someone continues to like or view another person's social media after they have cut ties or broken up.
You know what's interesting about that? So I misread it. I misinterpreted it. The way I read between the lines is the question was asking that you have cut ties with someone, and the other person continues to like your photos and socials and be in your space. But it's actually the opposite. It's you have cut ties, but you continue liking their photos.
Yep.
And it's like, first of all, what's wrong with you? Second of all, manipulative behavior.
Third of all, stalking in plain sight.
That's what I thought. Also, mixed signals much? But really, though, I was telling Tasha earlier before the show that a lot of modern dating lingo is like 100 ways to say someone is manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Especially the loaded words with negative connotations. And that is a great segue to the word that I picked is okay. Red flags.
All right.
We've been using it so much that I actually didn't realize that it only became a trend in 2021.
I mean, yeah, I suppose it became quite trendy in 2021,
yeah.
Right?
Like yes, it was a word, but it was used like differently. So mm-hmm. So red flag, as we've used it for time immemorial, it just means originally, red flag was used as meaning to describe something which is danger, like red light, for example, red color, right? Like danger, don't go there, describes there are flags actually found in holes on a golf course. So in some ways, it's utilitarian.
Mm-hmm.
But now as we use it, it's used for people and especially used in the dating world. So a red flag is a person who exemplifies signs of narcissism, aggression, and even abusive behavior. And by becoming aware of someone's red flags, you can avoid getting involved in a toxic relationship. So often it's like people calling out other folks for like red flag, or you would be ranting to someone about someone's questionable behavior, and then they're like, girl, red flag. And it's interesting because internet, everything is facetious and sometimes it's confusing of like what is actually going on. So this term is used jokingly but also earnestly to describe, I don't know, disagreeable, from like disagreeable behavior to like deal breakers, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, this person listens to, I don't know,
Three Doors Down.
Thank
Red
you.
Flag.
Thank you.
I'm kidding. But or, not really.
Yeah, right? Or this person is actually a compulsive liar, for example. And it's interesting with Red Flag. As I mentioned, it became a trend in 2021. And who knows where it started. Some folks say it started on Twitter and then people started making TikToks about it. But there is definitely value to it in the sense that I see Whisper Network. Someone is calling us.
Are we going to answer?
Hello?
Hello, I'm very nervous.
I don't know if they can hear us. Actually, no, I know why they... Where's the phone?
I mean, I have no idea.
Hello? I don't know if they can hear us. Okay, this is...
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi, you're on...
Hey, there you are. There you are.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I've never answered a call on air before.
I haven't either.
I know, you guys, I've sent messages to CITR telling you to all learn how to pick up the phone and whatnot because it seems to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, we have like a little button on the board.
Everyone pre-pandemic answered the phone whenever it rang or you know.
Yeah, we're trying to get back into it because a lot of shows also happen pre-recorded, but successfully.
But I heard you said you were there, so.
Yeah, we successfully.
Floor is yours, my friend. What's up?
The red flag stuff.
Yeah.
That's like goes back to nautical stuff. They used to like, there was a whole series of colored flags that told people what was up with your boat or other boats or this or that. It's a nautical thing.
That's really interesting. So that would mean that there are different flags for different purposes, no?
Yes, yes. They all have different colors, different
what are the
patterns,
other flags?
Whatnot. I love the lexicon stuff myself or phraseology, you know, like why we say what we do.
Yeah, I've never heard the term phraseology, but I think that's kind of what we're aiming for here.
Yeah, no, I like that
well,
term.
Well, you're specific word oriented, so yeah. I think, you know, lexicon is specific word, but yeah, I thought I should phone in on that, and you were saying things that I like was dying to respond to.
Oh, thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name's Al. I listen to CITR all the time. I phone in all the time. But,
oh man, thanks so much, awesome. Al. We're gonna learn how to use the phone more often.
Actually,
because of this experience,
I am very proud of myself for actually winging it. And thank you for being the first caller on the show.
Yeah.
No worries.
And for introducing the concept of the different flags.
Yeah, this is fun.
We could expand into a bigger conversation.
Totally.
Yeah, there. I mean, a lot of the, you know, the breadcrumbing, mm-hmm. I get that. That's, you know, goes on to, you know, Hansel and Gretling. You
yes.
know, that's what they were
Fairy
doing.
Tale. Yeah. Do you have a favorite word or maybe a word that you don't like so much? It could be related to dating or just in general.
Yeah, give us a word.
Well, I'm married 20 years, so I'm not into the dating lingo as much. But.
No, you know, just like word on the street, something you've heard. You don't have to be in it, you know?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I hear a lot from my kid.
Okay.
Stuff that is perplexing, and I'm like, you're not using that right. But
what does that mean?
Otherwise. Hmm?
What does that mean? I don't think I've heard that word.
Which? What?
Oh, the word that you just used.
Well, I'm just saying that I hear a lot from my kids about different words and stuff, and I say, you're not using that word correctly, and they say otherwise. They tell me, well, like, the new meaning of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, especially if something is, like, a pejorative, the 10-year cycle when it becomes no longer pejorative and kind of a compliment, I've noticed. So if you're used to something,
whatever you're perjuring, that population takes it back.
Yeah.
I've heard of this happening. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very popular. A couple of words that you can't say type thing have become taken back by the population,
yep,
right?
Reclaiming, you know? Lots of reclamation.
Yeah, go ahead, right? If that's what you want to do, then it's on you. But
okay, but Al, I want to ask you for like one word suggestion.
Just give us a word.
Give us a word. A word that you want to bring back. A word that want to stop being used.
Yeah, just anything.
I know, on the spot, I'm sorry.
Give us a phraseology.
We're on the spot too,
used.
Okay?
How about woke? I mean, stop using woke. I don't like that one very much. I think it's just, I mean, because it, you know, to me it means progressive. And to have negative connotations attached to the word progressive, I think is wrong. It just means you're aware of people's situations. You woke up to that, and you were unaware before. Now you're aware. I think it's bad to have the negative side of woke, as they've, you know, people have spun it out there in the world. But
okay, yeah, I like that. We'll definitely look into the turn of woke.
Yeah, it's very interesting how woke almost became.
I have to ask,
unwoke.
How old are you kids there out there?
Oh, kids, how do you
on the radio? I'm going to say it because I'm 55. I'll tell you right now.
Flattering.
I don't want to tell everyone. I'm 31. I do want to tell everyone.
There you go. Someone.
Yeah, I'm 30. Thank you for.
I know I haven't helped you guys if you're in the dating world at this point because I don't understand it. I don't understand.
I don't think anybody understands it, honestly.
How you know, e-pics are charming. Like that's like, I don't understand. Like how that's a good thing to give anyone.
Yeah. Well,
male nudity is like generally not something you want to see.
I think there is a word for the unsolicited pics.
Cyber flashing.
There we go. It was in the quiz that I took.
Cyber flashing. Yeah. We do.
The New York Times.
We do our research.
Take that quiz.
Yeah. But I just want to respond to the woke one. Actually, it's so interesting, and we want to do an episode on that.
Yeah,
well,
we have written it down.
That was off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's very. I'm very curious to kind of just also look more into like how woke becomes so unwoke.
Because one side is taking control of that word as a negative versus the positive that it actually is.
Yeah,
right. You know, yeah.
To be aware of other people's existence and situations and how that might be, how things might be hard for other people. And so be aware of those things. to turn that into a negative thing, it kind of boggles my mind.
Yeah, we have to be careful not to trivialize it.
Definitely, yeah. And yeah, it's just complicated with that word, because then it's like, I don't know, just a lot of different narratives.
Yeah, there's people that like it. There's people that absolutely hate it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a fan of it, just because I think it doesn't fully grasp what is happening mm-hmm. when you talk about what is happening when you say something is woke.
Yeah, it's often used to mock something.
Yeah,
or someone.
It's a negative thing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the suggestion. Because that will probably be on the docket for next week. And it was really nice talking to you, Al. Hopefully we have another call in soon.
Yeah.
Because this is something we could do.
Glad to be the first.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't too hard or anything.
No, it was great. Yeah, thank you for reminding me of the good old telephone and the beauty of that.
Yep.
Okay, right. Well, we're going to
carry
play
on with the show,
some
and
ads.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Right, take care. Ciao.
In October of 2022, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society held its flagship event, the Strong Sessions, for the fifth time. All Strong Sessions feature a variety of musicians with disabilities, paired with established local artists and bands. Each month until September this year, VAMS will be releasing the performances from our 2022 show on the Reimagine Radio YouTube channel, where you can also find past Strong Sessions content. To stay up to date with us, subscribe to the channel and drop a like to show some support.
Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
Do you want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Frock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
I love CITR 1.0.1.9 FM.
I love CITR 1.0.1.9 FM.
What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing if you're not listening to Planet and it flows on CITR 1.0.1.9 FM every other Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Pacific.
Oh.
Hello. Apologies for that really squeaky me adjusting my mic sound. We did just have a caller, Al. Thanks again for calling and listening to our show.
Yeah, thanks again for testing my respond like on the fly skills, which I didn't think I had until this moment. And I was like, oh, surge of confidence. Like, I can I can answer a phone call on air.
May I just say your vibes were immaculate?
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so Tasha, let's talk about your word.
Yeah, okay. So you chose, I thought quite interestingly, a word that was like a large category. Like, I think with red flag itself, it encompasses a lot of the words that showed up on the quiz that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, it seems, in dating lingo seems to reflect kind of a red flag. Like, we're talking about things that are problems.
Yep.
So you chose the word that encompassed like all of the problems,
mm-hmm.
which I just wanted to say because I thought that was really smart. The direction that I went is a little bit tangential to this, but I thought immediately of the word simp,
mm-hmm.
And the language of like obsession.
Yeah.
The language of entitlement, the language of shame. It's less utilitarian and it's more shame-based. And for those unfamiliar, though, like, I don't imagine anyone out there listening doesn't know the
word
simp. Unless you're
living under a rock.
Of which I do, and I respect you. It's actually a short form of the word simpleton, mm-hmm. which I sort of guessed, but I never actually could back it up with anything. But I did find notes from a 1917 comic wherein a female director yells at one of the male actors to kiss her, you simp, meaning simpleton. So,
fascinating.
I mean, it is interesting because I think the use of it in that context is like wimp, like kiss her, don't be a wimp. Whereas the use of it now comes from this place, I would say, of objectification. It's where it's usually used in a heterosexual context where a guy is spending what is deemed too much attention or giving too much kindness to a woman that doesn't know that he exists or that is not reciprocating. And that's where I get the entitlement from, because I think it's this idea that, like, kindness needs to be reciprocated. Like, you can just be kind
in a romantic fashion.
Yeah, exactly. Or like that I deserve this back if I'm going to. It comes a lot from like the friend zone,
which is
world.
A myth.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's spawned. Yes, I'm gonna use the word spawned around the same time in the same places.
Yeah,
and it certainly like orbits dating lingo because it talks about relationships between people.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating because I feel like it hurts several players, the word, right? Because yes, it's used as a pejorative. It embodies, like, we're reinforcing toxic masculinity. It's like, how dare you, with the comic you mentioned, like, kiss her reminds me of if I'm remembering correctly, Katy Perry was on one of the reality music shows, the like Idol or whatever, and then she kissed one of the contestants who wasn't a fan and was actually very upset about it. And then there were a lot of people on the internet being like, you wimp, Katy Perry kissed you, be grateful kind of thing. And he's like, but that's uncalled for and it's high-key harassment.
Yeah, it's a word that sort of ignores a lot of the nuances of like being with people and being in relation to people. It pretends that there is only one way
and there's one victim. Like, if Katy Perry was a dude and it was a woman, we would have responded very differently. So the whole thing of like alpha male versus beta male and like, oh, you're not like macho enough. And masculinity is so fragile that it needs to be, like, protected at all times.
Yeah, simp is in essence that. It's, like, the fragile masculine ego. And that one should never be giving in that way without receiving.
Yes.
You know? And like I said, it's just, like, there are so many ways to be with and around people. And we should never have, like, we should never have these words of, like,
Says the word goblin.
Yeah, we should never have words. Sentence end. But yeah, I don't know. We should never put down just like being nice and kind to people. And it shouldn't always be this thing where everything has to be reciprocated. Some things are just not.
Or transactional.
Like, get over it. Some things are just not.
But also if you have an agenda in mind, like, yeah, if I want to be your friend, I would like that reciprocated. But if I have an agenda in mind, especially like, oh, romantic prospect, and I'm only being nice to you so we can date, that's shady.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the other thing is like, you can't cast people into roles in your life. You know, like, you in this case, I feel like it is a very, like, male lens of, like, casting women into a role in their lives, and you're supposed to fulfill that role of like, you know, the romantic object. And, like,
I use the
word object pointedly because I think in the world of simp, it's all about objectification of desire, and it's projecting onto someone else. And so, like, just point blank, like, you can't cast people into those roles.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost, interestingly, like, antithetical to the red flag behaviors where it's, like, you're a narcissist or you're abusive or you're aggro, where it's, like, this is, like, you're very diluted and subdued in some ways, but then it's also unhealthy in, like, the other extreme sense of, like, okay, you're being too nice and too available because you have an ulterior motive, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wow. Well, I do want to talk about the song that I played.
Yes.
Because talking about the language of obsession, I may be obsessed with the song. It's called Take You There by Glass Forest and Days of Lavender off of the single Take You There. The Glass Forest and Days of Lavender are both Vancouver-based bands. They're so great. If they're doing a show in Vancouver, let me know. I would, I'd like to go and check it out. It's just, I don't know, very like synth pop, 80s, indie vibe. What did you play?
I followed up that song with a track called Broodmother by Powerplant, a UK-based band that is very interesting because their first output in 2019, which I can't remember what it was called, but it was a very post-punk album, and they followed it up with Stump Soup in 2020. It was just straight dungeon synth, and so this track is a really interesting blend of the two very different albums, and I thought that a dungeon synthy post-punk album that borrowed a lot from games and game atmosphere is a perfect way to segue into the analysis topic that I want to pursue for this, which is like gamification of dating. And I mean, certainly I see gamification. I see games in a lot of things because I'm interested in games, because I play games. So I thought Powerplant was a really cool band to pull into it. And I honestly do love everything they put out. So shout out. You guys are great.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, gamification.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Tell us more.
My thought is that because we approached this and we were like, there is certainly too many words, a lot of which are words that revolve around like behavior, which is objectively kind of like bad, kind of shitty, kind of, just like dickish behavior, I guess. We have a lot of words, really heavy terms for things that we're making bigger and bigger deals out of small, minute behavioral traits that people possess when they're getting involved with other people. And I think this stems from how we've commodified dating and the ways in which, like, primarily when we're talking about like dating apps, we're talking about Tinder. And I think this is something that a lot of people have discussed ad nauseum, so like I'm just going to add to the cesspool of, like, you know, the whole like swiping is a very gamified motion, and having goals and feeling like you're winning and all of these aspects to Tinder that really evoke a game sense. Of course we have all of these words that stem from that gamification because we use words to communicate how to win when we're playing games. I think when I'm using gaming lingo with my friends, it's like to communicate how to win or be better at something faster, because you're always trying to optimize it. And so certainly in the very commercial, commodified world of dating, we have now adopted this like super gamified and varied lingo as a result of that.
So icky.
Yeah, I mean, I do find it.
Also, can we never use main character energy ever? Because if you have main character energy, you're probably an asshole.
Yeah. And
if you're saying that to yourself, like,
it's kind of an obvious statement too. Mm-hmm. Subjectivity is kind of always there. You're always like, your main control center is you yourself, like, duh.
Yeah,
I think this is definitely a Dodoy moment. I also think that like the goal of something like Tinder, I would say it pretty plainly that the goal is to keep people single. Like, the goal of that platform is to keep people on the platform, right? So they don't really have any interest in meaningful connection. They have interest in making sure that there is more engagement.
You know what's interesting? So one of the other popular... so there's Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge, I'd say, the three most popular dating apps. And Hinge, their slogan is made to be deleted. And that's fascinating.
Yeah, because it suggests that mm-hmm. there is a world in which these apps are not made to be deleted, which I think is true.
Yeah. And they'd like to believe that it's made to be deleted. But we're all hooked. And you know what's interesting? Like, I always advocate for abundance mindset, but in this context, it does us greater harm, because we think there's so many fish in the sea, but that's not true. And then we can treat people like shit. We can be, excuse my language, we can be awful human beings and be disrespectful and not treat people like people.
Yeah.
Because we treat them as just, an object. We gamify it, right? So it's like, it's just it's a one-dimensional character with like no thoughts and feelings at all. And we are delusional, because it's rare when you actually meet someone and form a connection. And it's really unfortunate how we have allowed bad behavior, and it's reinforced through these apps, because it's, again, the delusion of options.
That's a really interesting point. Yeah, because in this case, it does. Abundance mentality is not a helpful mindset. It also reminded me of something that I wanted to talk about, and I didn't know if it'd be particularly relevant, but there's this concept of the magic circle of play.
Oh,
And what's that? It's a Dutch historian, Johan Huizinga, I believe, is the perpetrator of this, but essentially it's wherein the regular rules and etiquette of regular life don't apply within this magic circle of play. So let's say, for example, Dungeons and Dragons, there is, like, when you are involved in this magic circle of play, you know, the outside world and those behaviors don't necessarily apply in this circle. Say, for example, you're playing soccer, like, all of the rules in that game, they all fully exist in that little world, and the way that you act in that world is like very specific to those parameters. Outside of that magic circle of play, like, there are no red cards, you know, like, that doesn't apply. It only applies in that small circle. So I think that there's a magic circle of play that fuels this lack of courtesy to people when they're engaging in gamified dating.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, it pushes abundance mindset, like you said. And it only exists in those little spheres. And that's kind of what a lot of dating apps and dating lingo have pushed. I wouldn't go so far as to say that dating apps have pushed lingo, but it would make sense that, like, the more in which we're talking about all these behaviors and stigmatizing them, the more people are using the apps.
Yeah, that's such a great concept, because it reminds me of the few number of times where I've played Monopoly and I'm feeling very competitive. And I don't know, I'm kind of feeling gross. I'm like, oh, wow, I am capitalism right now. Yeah. I just want to win. I don't care. I'm because you win by screwing people over. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because in that, it doesn't matter what my values are.
In that circle of play, there are no repercussions for being a dirty capitalist.
That's it.
Yeah.
Can make capitalists pay. Come at me. And that is such a great concept because it is true. People and this, these same people who are exhibiting red flags, half of them would actually be nice human beings, I imagine, if you were to meet, if they were to meet you IRL.
Yeah.
Because then they would be like, no, this is another person with feelings and thoughts and emotions. And I actually can't treat them as if they were disposable. But it's very much that kind of like napkin mentality of like, oh, there is always going to be another napkin.
Yeah.
In the, yeah, okay, napkin analogy. I don't know why. I really went deep into the Kleenex.
Yeah.
I really went deep into the Kleenex factory.
Connotations.
But it's really that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Treating people as if they were disposable.
Disposable. Yeah, the ways in which that you're reaching out to people are not the same, I would say, online as they are if you are just like mingling at a party, you know. We did just recently have this conversation. We were like, what's the difference between mingling and networking?
Yeah.
And mingling to me is like in that perhaps little performative circle too. There's a different way of being. It's really casual and you're not, you don't have the overhead of like, this could be dating or this could be sex, like hanging over you. You just don't know. You're just kind of talking to someone new and you figure it out and it's slow. And I know it's slow sucks for a lot of people. So like, so hence we have.
Bring back slow.
Yeah.
Anything
agree.
Goes, right? With
yeah.
mingling and networking from what we arrived at is more profesh and say, would you say networking is LinkedIn and mingling is Instagram?
Whoa, yes, I would. I would say that. I would also say nothing freaking makes me want to walk into oncoming traffic more than networking. Just as a sidebar, I can't do it. Mostly I'm mad because I can't do it, but that, I digress.
Tasha is not lying.
Not.
Not even, not exaggerating, not even 0.5%.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I did have something to share with the class,
mm-hmm.
and begrudgingly, I did go down several rabbit holes. As I was talking about earlier, so talking about West Elm Caleb, which we have moved on from, thank God, was a wild internet story, or a wild story that went viral. And as most things that go viral, nothing good comes out of it unless it's a cat playing the piano.
I would agree with that.
Or
a duck drumming with its feet.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Those are the only options.
That's it.
No more content. Only ducks and cats.
Okay. That made me emotional.
Yeah.
Anyway. I was just imagining the little, just the little feet.
Imagine all the people.
Yeah, no, so it was fascinating what happened, as I may or may not have mentioned earlier, is there was a dude in New York who was a serial dater, your average womanizer or F-boy, and it turned out he had dated a lot of women, and someone posted about it on TikTok and it went viral, and they were like, oh, is it the same Caleb? He worked at a furniture store. He was a furniture designer. The store is called West Elm, hence the title, and his name was Caleb. And these women got really mad, very frustrated. I get it. Especially, I want to talk about women and femme who are very frustrated with like misogyny and especially dating culture, which can be unpleasant, to say the least, bordering to fully harmful and abusive. And what ended up happening was a very extreme reaction where the guy was doxxed online and his private information private informations were leaked to the point that he had to really scrub off his entire identity of the internet, like delete LinkedIn and everything. And just to think that did he deserve so much backlash? I don't think so. I mean, he was just a dick, and you just move on. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Calebs out there, and just that kind of vigilante mindset, I suppose, of like, maybe your anger is misguided. It's like a lot of years and years of frustration and hearing like bad dating stories and stuff. And someone tweeted something that I would like to read, and that kind of sums up my sort of feelings of like, people are wild. This is such an extreme reaction. What are you doing? And this person, Kate Willett, tweeted, honestly, very mad about this Wes Elm Caleb situation. How dare you make me side with an F-boy? I'm not allowed to swear on air, so I'm going to say F-boy. Yeah, so that was, you know, I think it's also something else that I was reading in just like analysis and commentary about it, is that this is a direct repercussion of us being too online, exhibiting main character energy, where like these people who were quote-unquote victims were like telling their own narratives. We don't have a counter narrative to it. And again, yeah, I believe these people, but it's like, it sucks. Yeah, there is benefit to like ranting, right? Like, yeah, how many, all of us have done that, like gone on bad dates, ranted, or told bad dating stories about which were our stories or someone else's story. But then that's it. And so it's also kind of that mentality of not gamifying, but like being chronically online, having to document everything and having to make an example out of stuff. But that is me. You have a question. You did raise your hand.
I did raise my hand.
I love that. I said I'd share it with this class, and you took it very seriously.
Yep. You put me in that world, and that's your fault. You said something that was interesting there about and now I'm totally drawing a blank, which is annoying. But it made me think about like victimhood. Okay. And like, because we have so many terms, do you think that like a lot of people were able to like identify what is objectively bad and like abhorrent behavior, right? But they're able to identify it in so many ways that it created this like surplus reaction, because we have so many terms, because we're able to like sort of psychoanalyze and pinpoint almost too much, that is why something like this blew up. Do you think it's a reaction to the language, I guess is what I'm asking, or do you think the language stems from this?
Ooh, interesting question. I don't know. I'd say maybe that is, that could be a stretch of saying that the language leads to such intense reactions. But I suppose maybe people have more tools, and I use that in quotations, tools to express themselves for better or for worse. And sometimes things are not as high stakes as they sound.
Yes.
When you have vocabulary for everything. So, for example, some of the folks that kind of came out to share their stories, it was a lot of, again, red flags. As you pointed out, he was very much known or infamous for ghosting, love bombing, and for folks who don't know, love bombing is when you show a lot of interest initially and then I don't know, ghost, I guess, or lose interest or start breadcrumbing. As a result, and yeah, all of that sucks. Like, it really sucks, and it, you know, can crush you or whatever. But the online harassment he got from that, people have been talking about, like, did he deserve that? And sorry, I was gonna directly respond to another. Was that
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think the conversation should shift from not about whether or not he deserved it, because I don't think he did. Mm-hmm. Not about whether or not it was bad behavior, because it was, but but rather why this happening and why it blew up. And yeah. I think the whys are because we have a gamified dating system. And then we also have, because of this, so many words to define behaviors, which are then extracted from the people who are executing these behaviors. And all we see are your red flags, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't kind of see the whole person. We see the behavior, like love bomb. I know so many people, like people that I'm actively like in relationships with that do this. Is it bad? I don't think so. I think there's a spectrum of this behavior. But for me to sit here and be like, that is a bad behavior, and to post that on everyone I know, it feels like it feels really shallow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's like an element of this that's like, maybe we're just using all of these words to like put on our like Terminator goggles and just like see all of the bad.
Like, woe is me.
Yeah. I think that's the conversation that should stem from this. And like, I understand we want to do a whole John Tucker must die situation, but like, I don't think that's the interesting part of West and Caleb.
West,
you know,
I'm
like,
Caleb.
Like, you know, like the Pet Shop Boys?
Yes.
Okay. That's my joke. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I agree. It's not interesting. It's not constructive.
Yeah.
It's not going to get us anywhere. Like, yes, with social media, we're able to share our story. It is empowering, and you can take control of your narrative. But again, for something to blow out of proportion, it's maybe we can use that as a cautionary tale,
mm-hmm.
right? Because then it's also an individualist mindset. Like, there are a bajillion Calebs out there.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Like, who has the time and energy?
Yeah, I certainly don't.
No, and like this kind of like witch hunt, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, words define the experience, and I think if you look into this story, probably what you're going to find and probably what you have found is so many instances of these various like modern dating terms popping up as a way to really quickly explain behavior that I think is probably different for every person that he dated.
Yeah. And you know, actually, just when you were talking, I was just thinking, instead of like, I mean, yeah, we're goblins sitting here. Love words, it's so fulfilling to be able to really describe accurately what I'm feeling or experiencing. But instead of having 100 words for awful behavior, maybe we need to think of why we're being awful and how we can stop being awful.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about that.
Yeah, no one talks about that. I don't know how much time we have.
We
probably not very much
have
time.
2 minutes.
Then I will not say what I was going to say because it's too much. But perhaps that means that this is something that we can do a part two for. Yeah.
Can you sum it up? Can you sum it up for us?
Sum up what we talked about.
Give us Tasha's
okay,
haiku.
Listen.
Wise haiku.
Not wise. I think relationships have been largely gamified. I think the getting to know a person exists in the said magic circle of play, of which it is not. It is in the real world, and you are interacting with the person, and they're going to be complex and weird and bad and good and ugly. And that's fine. Like, that is fine. And I think there are just too many words for behaviors which are themselves complex. And maybe we just need to cut back on some of those words. And maybe I hate words. And I also think, like, language which surrounds obsession and shame needs to be thrown out, because who has time for things like down bad and simp? Like, let's just stop. What about you?
I think you summed it up really well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think we are going to wrap our show with that.
Yeah. Thank you so much to Al for calling in. That was lovely. And yeah, certainly if anyone else has anything to add, we will probably open the phone lines, because we know how to do that now.
Yes.
To take like a call or something every show. We do have a lot of notes that we like aggressively want to get through. So we may not have tons of time, but I think that was cool and fun. And I want to do it again.
I want to do it again too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, see you folks next week. Same time. Ciao.
Bye.